Who's jumped to 3-0, but not without controversy in Charlotte? We look at UVA versus A&T, NC A&T. We look ahead at UVA versus Texas Southern. The fresh question of the week without Dougie Fresh once again. And more. Hello, everyone. This is the Jay Willie Show. I am your host, Mark Jerome, alongside Coach Jason Williford, who I still say is the top assistant coach in the ACC and maybe the country. But I haven't seen a vote since the last one, since I can remember, about who the best coach in the ACC is. And so that still gives you reign as the top coach, right? And very verbal.
I appreciate that. I don't know.
We are sponsored and brought to you by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged. Big up to my man, Kevin Rogers, and the entire family who are
Kevy Kev, Kevy Kev.
Jay Wild, I know you're a little bit sick, so thanks so much for joining us.
No, I appreciate it. You probably can hear it in my voice, so I apologize up front. I'll get through it. I got to tough it out.
Do you know remedies for
I got a few home remedies I've been taking. Right. But Ethan's taking good care of me, so I'm good. We got the best trainer in the world.
I never drank alcohol until like 10 years ago in my life. Right? Never did drug, never smoked. And one day somebody gave me a hot toddy.
Those are good.
Yeah.
I've been doing tea, but I hadn't done the toddy. I might have to do that tonight. Help put me to sleep.
Put a little something in it.
Yeah.
You're old enough. You're above 21. Right?
No quest.
3-0. Good start.
Good start.
So last night before the game, I was fairly committed to the concept that you guys would do really well from the jump. Right? Because I think this team is hungry. I think they're talented. I think they're determined. I think they're athletic. They check a lot of boxes. And while there's some of them are new to UVA, they still have a lot of experience. Right? Were you surprised at last night's game? At the start of the game?
No, I wasn't. I was hoping we'd come out with the right focus, you know, defensively. And then I thought I got a little frustrated with the guys because I felt like we were trying to knock them out with one punch. And you just got to do what we do, run our stuff, get good shots. I thought we shot at a bunch on the first side. Just everyone was antsy trying to get, like, I got to get mine. I got to get a good look. And then we settled in. We're deep, Mark. We got some bodies. We got some talent. And so it was good. We had got a chance to see everybody play. It was good to see that. Leon had another good game. I thought Ryan Dunn was phenomenal defensively. He flew around like crazy. Guards came back, helped rebound the ball. Rebound is going to be an Achilles heel for us all year, just because of our size and lack of physicality inside. So we've got to do that by committee. I thought the guards helped us do that. McNeely made some shots early. Obviously, he tweaked his ankle. Dante gave us a lift. Tane came in, banged a shot. Jordan Miner got some minutes. You know, he hadn't played. I know he's been a little frustrated, but it was good to see everybody contribute.
Before we go on much further about the game, how is IMAX ankle?
I think he's doing well. I know he's getting treatment. It will be a game time decision. I told him after the game yesterday, you make sure you see Ethan about five times a day up until the game. So he got at least four treatments today. He'll get a couple tomorrow. We'll see what happens.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure he wants to play, but maybe better. I don't know. I'm throwing this out there. You guys may think Texas Southern hasn't been that successful yet this year. Do you hold him out and get ready for Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously that's something coach will decide, with the guidance of Ethan. But I, for now, it's, day to day, just he's got to get it better. He was in a boot, I think, after the game. So when I saw him.
How do you judge a game and how do you evaluate your players from yesterday's game when you're winning by 25 and 30 points in the second half?
Yeah, it's kind of, don't play the score, don't play the opponent, kind of do what we do, run our stuff, no matter who it is, don't worry about the score. So we're constantly looking at, are we executing offensively? Are we getting good shots? Are we taking care of the basketball, not turning it over? And then defensively, are we continuous? Are we, alert, talking, getting back in transition, rebounding, boxing out, all the stuff that we got to do that'll carry us through the year.
Got a little sloppy at one point in the second half.
Yeah, that's game slippage. It tends to get that way sometimes, when you get leads like that. But they've got to stay committed and focused.
So how frustrated do you get at that point? Is it like, okay, we're up 30. This isn't Duke. It's not North Carolina. It's not Georgia Tech.
You got to coach them up. And there's a certain standard that we expect, and not just the starters, it's everybody. So when guys off the bench go in, they've got to play to that standard and hopefully have no let up. So and those are the things we address and we talk about.
With a game like that on Tuesday night and then you're off Wednesday preparing for Texas Southern tomorrow night, do you watch film from last night?
Oh yeah.
With the players?
Yeah, we'll watch it. We watched a little bit today. Just kind of offense, defense, what went well, what we need to continue to work on. And then you put that behind you. And then you get ready for Texas Southern.
Be more specific, how much time did you spend watching film on NCAA&T? And then how much did you spend watching Texas Southern?
Yeah, so we probably before practice, probably about 8 minutes of Tony and one of us in there too long. We lose their attention, but probably about 8-10 minutes of A&T film, both offense and defense, and then after practice, went and watched Texas Southern scout report, offense, defense, low personnel, and the guys will have all that information at their disposal tonight and tomorrow.
So I've been saying the hardest challenge for the coaching staff this year is trying to figure out who you're going to play. There's so many good players, so much talent on this team. And last night, you had a little bit of a different starting lineup. What was the rationale behind that?
Yeah, I thought, Blake earned it. He had a good game against Florida. And, I think coach said, if he plays like that, he deserves to be in there to start. And we've talked about it as a staff, at least early in the season and preseason. There are going to be games where coaches shuffling the lineup, and depending on who we're playing and matchups, and either small ball or big, and traditional two bigs, we'll be changing rotations and guys need to be ready when called upon. Cause we, like I said, we're deep. We've got some talented guys and, it really doesn't matter who starts, is who's finishing those bad boys. So, everyone wants to be a starter. He's addressed that early on, it could go anyway.
How did it go with Jake? Explain to him, hey.
No, I think Jake's been around a long time. He's an OG. He's a seasoned vet. His fifth year. He wants to win. He wants to be in a program that wins, and he's going to be willing to help do whatever. So it was no problem.
Good to hear. And I know that can always, that can be tough and that can be hard to swallow. It's probably easier with someone who's a little bit more mature and older than having to explain to a first year or second year, right? And how they might bounce back. But Jake bounced back great.
No. Again, coach addresses early on. You know, I think, you know, dudes get frustrated, you know, and they want to play minutes. And that's the hardest part of coaching. But, you know, if we want to be as good as this particular team can be, they've all got to buy in and be willing to, if coach wants to make a change, you know, we're going to make a change. And that may not be the only change this year, you know, from a starting standpoint. You know, they just got to be ready.
Is this the first time you've been part of a coaching staff where someone has a really good first half and the coach says, you know what? You're doing well. You're hot. Yeah, I'm inserting you in the starting lineup for the second half.
It could very well be. And, you know, we have those discussions, you know, at halftime. You know, hey, do we like the way we started? Should we change it up coming out of the locker room? You know, most of the time we end up sticking with the way we start games. But, you know, he's done that before. I mean, he's done that in games where a guy got, like you said, got off to a hot start and he kept him out there to start of the second half. So, yeah, all of that's on the table.
I'm looking at some of the questions and we got one good one. Well, a bunch of good ones, but Wacky Wynn just said, and apologize if I pronounced the first name wrong, will Bond and Dunn play together at any time?
I think so. I think they played together the other night a little bit. I don't know how much. But yeah, you could see that. Dude, we've got some versatility in this roster. And you know, Mark, you've seen it. And most folks that follow us, our best teams have had that versatility. When you can go small if need be, you can go super big if need be. So you have to have that. Because throughout the course of the season, you're going to play different styles, different teams. They present different problems from a matchup standpoint. So having versatility, yeah, absolutely the two of them could be on the floor together.
At the end of last night, game's over, coaches start talking. Overall, are you pleased with the victory and the win and with the way the guys played?
Oh, yeah. Always. Never apologize for a win. You know why I say that? How about them Steelers? Never apologize for a win. 6-3 in bad offense. But I won't apologize for our record. Win is a win.
Football's a little different. Football's a little different because there's so few games. There's only 16, 17 games. By the way, guess where I'm going this weekend?
You're going to Cleveland?
Cleveland. I won't go to that football game. It's gonna be too cold.
Hey, we got a shot. Deshaun Watson's out for the year. We got a chance now.
Okay. One of my friends told me that Mike Tomlin, and we got to get to UVA, Florida. Mike Tomlin is the winningest coach in games decided by 7 points or less.
I saw stats. I'm like, I saw something similar to that. I mean, what they're doing right now is unheard of. They're getting outgained. They've been... I don't know how we're winning, you know, with the offense we got, but I'm going to take it. I'm just praying that it all clicks. And at some point, the offense starts running like a well-oiled machine. So if that ever happens, NFL, watch out. All right. Super Bowl, baby.
I'm not sure that's going to happen this year, especially if you're not scoring more than 15 points a game or whatever the number is, but let's get back to Florida. UVA, great game, thrilling, exciting, took a punch, got punched in the face early and came right back. And that was really, like, people might have been saying, oh man, we could be Tarleton, but we play a team like Florida who's really talented, we can't hang, right? I got a couple of text messages, oh man, this team isn't that good. Next thing you know, I just wanted to respond, like, dude, the game just started.
Well,
right? You go on an 11-0 run.
And we made some mistakes, and the average eye couldn't catch some of the mistake. We had some major breakdowns early in that game. Transition defense. We weren't hedging ball screen. Like we allowed the ball to get turned. There were some breakdowns that got corrected. And then Blake came in and gave us a huge lift. But Dante was very good in the first half, gave us some offense. So it was just a matter of correcting some of those mistakes, getting back to doing what we do. But we had two really good scrimmages against great competition. I thought the guys were prepared and ready. They just had to go through it a little bit. And they got their sea legs and they bounced back. It was good.
Blake tried to dunk everything. I love it.
He has to. Got to draw fouls, get to the free. He shot 16 free throws in that game.
Incredible. And I don't know that I remember you guys playing such a good team and getting so many paint touches.
Well, we got a couple guys that can put it on the floor. We got good cutters. Ryan Dunn's a cutter. Leon Bond can cut. And if you cut and find them, that's just another way of touching the paint without having to necessarily handle the ball and be creative off the bounce. But if you got guys that cut off ball and you get good spacing and movement, and Blake rolling and finishing and Reese and Dante can touch the paint. Rhodey can touch the paint in his own way. He likes to Magic Johnson you and back you down a little bit. But we got some good skill offensive guys.
I'm a big Dante fan. I'm a fan of all of them. But what he, I watched him in the first half. I thought he was electric and dynamic in the first half against Florida and just made some great moves. What is your scouting report? What are the really good things that you guys think he does, and what are some of the things that he needs to work on?
Yeah, Dante. So Dante, his biggest plus is his heart. He's a competitor. He loves to compete. I knew going into that game that stage was not going to be too big. He likes the bright lights. He's played 2 years of Big East basketball, so he knows that caliber of play. He's got to, I think the one thing he's got to continue to work on is just taking care of the ball, making the right sound decisions. But being able to touch the paint, pull up, get his own, he can do that. And he defends on ball. Like there won't be a setting we go into that he's going to back down from and not be ready to compete. Guys like that, Tony loves, we love.
On-ball defenders, in order, rate Kihei, Dante, and Reese.
I'm still going to give the nod to Kihei for now. Dante's got a chance to surpass him as far as tough on-ball. Reese is unique in that he doesn't have to get in you the way those two do. Like he's just his wingspan, his anticipation. I've never seen a guy steal passes from his own guys often as Reed. Like that's an art. Like to be able to steal a pass from the guy you're guarding. Most dudes run through a passing lane, but he gets the ball as the guy's passing it and can anticipate it and get a deflect. It's uncanny. He can guard. I mean, he goes 1, 2, and 3 for us at times if need be. He'll guard bigger dudes. Last year he guarded, I'm trying to think, the kid from Illinois, Shannon. Like he was good. Reese took that personal. So
does that make him number 1, 2, or 3?
I'm gonna put them all at 1, A, B, and C.
Okay, who's 1C? Who's 1A?
You flip a coin. They're all ones to me.
Okay. I mean, I know they're all special and they're all really
good. No, they're all good. They're all good.
Yeah. All right. So, by the way, at the end of that game, and maybe, that was the strategy, But I thought watching that game that when the point guard rejected the ball screen,
yeah,
three times in the second half, twice around Reese and one time around Dante, right? They went, instead of the defender Reese and Dante forcing him into this hard hedge, they allowed the ball handler to go around them.
Breakdowns. One time Reese looked at the screen, can't do that. You got to trust your ears. You got to listen for it. As soon as you look, great offensive players going to reject. Dante, I don't know if he heard where the screen was, and we had a breakdown in coverage. One was a side out where we were supposed to, you know, blow it up, and we let the ball get turned. So, you know, inopportune times for a couple of those breakdowns, because a couple of those were late possession. But, you know, just stuff that you got to continue to work on. Reese knows. We talked, we pointed it out in film.
Yep. And so I believe one of them was after the call that we're going to get to in a minute, right? They gave Florida the ball back. And it might have been Dante, I think, that off the pick and roll that allowed their guy to get into the paint when their offensive player actually pushed UVA. I can't remember which big guy was in. Should have been called an offensive foul, clearing the lane for Florida guy to get to the basket. I think it was in the BFF. If I remember correctly, I can't remember exactly. But
yeah, I can't remember the time, and I know two were late. One was Reese looking at a screen. One was Dante. I don't recall the third. You said it was a third.
Yeah, I think two were Reese and one was Dante, I believe.
Yeah. Well, it's either one of them. If the point guard had the ball, those are only two guarding the point guard. Although yep. McNeely has been good. His defensive slides have been much improved, and you know, at times we put him on the point guard yesterday. So he's getting better.
Yeah, he is. And you got a lot of good defensive players, but we've talked about that. You seem to be very happy with them defensively. So, but before the point guard gets the ball and they kick free throw to tie it up, there was a call on the sideline. Right? And so I didn't know. I couldn't tell when it happened. I'm watching it, and of course I'm watching it. I didn't know until like 2 days ago or 3 days ago when I saw someone blast a tweet out showing that the ball actually went off of the Florida player's foot, right? And I'm in a text group with Dougie Fresh, and I'm in Adam Sirik and Danny Alter, and Adam is saying there's no way the ball could have spun that way, spun back that way, unless they hit a Florida player the whole time. And I'm agreeing with him. But I was also mad. The only real part I was really mad at is that it wasn't indicated that the Florida player pushed off with his arm, extended that arm, and pushed off, right? Like, and I know that's not reviewable, but we're going to go to the part where the ball goes out of bounds. It's called UVA ball. At what point should a commentator, and I know this gets a little tricky, because your relationship, right, with Corey, right, and Tony's relationship with Corey, at what point can a commentator get involved and an analyst get involved? And if he's asked or isn't asked, what should their role be?
Well, I have not talked to Corey since the game, and I love him. That's my boy. We're always going to be boys. But I don't know how you look at the camera at the scores table, make a call, go take it out, and the call gets overturned. Now, that's my opinion. I don't know what was said. I know Corey has said his piece. I'll talk to him tomorrow when I see him. I've been waiting to see him so I can put him in a headlock. but I feel as if, and this is just me, if the refs don't have a view and they need help from the TV, then they can ask for help and then make a call, make a decision. If that would have happened, Tony wouldn't have lost it. We wouldn't have, you know, okay. They didn't have a good view. We can't really tell. Camera angle's bad. We need to go look at the TV monitor, make a call, boom. But to make a call, to make the decision after reviewing it, then going to take it out, ball's about to get put in play. They said it's UVA ball. I think it would be a bad precedent to start. Not just Corey. Look, Corey, quite honestly, was put in a tough situation. If, in fact, the ref asked him, did we get it wrong? That's not Corey's job. That's not any analyst's job to do the referee's job. Again, if it was unfortunate. Luckily, it didn't cause us the game. We walked away with the W. But I feel like the refs either make the call based on what they see at the table. They don't have enough vantage view at the table. Go ask TV for help and then make a decision. But if they can walk away from the scores table, make a decision, that should be the decision.
So if they can't, and so I'm asking from a question of morality, and you really believe, and I'm saying put yourself in Corey's shoes, and I'm asking the audience put themselves in Corey's shoes. I'm not defending Corey. I'm just saying, if you think you see something that should be corrected, or you think you see something that's right, should you say something as an analyst, right?
Let me say this, Mark. I watch football all the time, and I know that two different sports. Football is up in the booth. They're not on the sideline. But those guys talk about replay reviews and I don't see it that way and that's going to get changed. But they don't have an opinion after the refs see it and make a call. Now, that should be the case for our sport. I hear dudes often talk about, hey, that was a bad call, and all that they got it wrong, that went out. But they're paid to give their opinions, and that's part of their job. But their job shouldn't conflict or cross over into refereeing and outcomes of games. That's just my opinion.
When you saw TB scream at Corey.
Well, first of all, he was going nuts, right? And then Reese came over and was like, Corey told him to look, or they got it wrong. So now Reese is mad, the guys are mad, and I'm like, I got my hands up like, yo, what's going on? The funniest part, and this is all, you know, we can laugh at it now, but we're in the midst of the huddle, and Tone's giving the guys instructions, you know, because now it's looking like it's not going to be our ball. We got to go defend, blah, blah, blah. So Tone looks up at me as he's talking to the guys. And he's like, and that's your boy. And now he's mad at me. I'm like, Coach, yeah, he's my boy, but I didn't do anything. So it was funny. But, you know, we all laughed. But Corey's family. So he's a brother to me. But I am putting him in the headlock when I see him tomorrow.
Did you, last thing I'll bring up about this, did you see the replay or the video of the ball going off of the Florida player?
I saw the honestly, I still can't tell who it went off of. Like, I don't know if it's a clear view. And I only saw our camera. I don't think I've got the, like, when we get our camera. So I don't know if I've got the TV copy.
Someone shared a tweet of the ball going off the Florida player. Right. After, of course, I still say the offensive foul, and
I honestly, you really couldn't tell. Like
on that, right? So two days later or 3 days later, whenever it was, someone tweeted out the video of the ball going up the Florida foot. And if you see that and you lose.
Hey, all I know is we won. We're 3-0. UVA's had some horrible breaks in this history of basketball. We'll take this win in all of its controversy, and we're gonna move on.
And some good ones too.
Yeah.
Right, Texas Tech.
Yeah, but we've been on the bad side of some crazy games, so we'll take this one.
Well, I'm glad everything worked out on your side, and all the UVA fans are. So now we move towards, after going 3-0, Texas Southern tomorrow night. How do you keep the guys excited, determined, fighting, and what kind of practice did you have today?
Today was short. We often say on days like this, we're not going to go long, but we're going to go strong. We'll go about 45 minutes, 50 minutes of a short, intense one. More mental rehearsal, just, got to walking through their stuff and sharpening up what we do, getting a few free throws. We shot some free throws, some shots. But they've got our attention, man. They played an Arizona State team pretty close.
Yep.
They've been to the NCAA tournament, I want to say 6 or 7 years in a row now. That's a good program, a winning program. Johnny Jones is a hell of a coach, been doing this a long time. They got some guys. They got some dudes that can put the ball in the bucket. They'll shoot early. They'll get down the floor fast. We got to get back. We showed them film. The film doesn't lie. So, we definitely got their attention.
You've been known to post clippings or words or quotes from some opposing players to try to rile your guys up.
Oh, yeah.
What did you do today?
I didn't have to do that today.
Okay.
I didn't get anything that was locker room worthy. But I think the big picture ultimately, if these guys want to do what we think we can are capable of doing this year, you gotta protect home. You can't let anybody come in here and beat you in your house. And we gotta protect home court. And this is just the next one.
When I'm watching these guys, I feel like this is probably the most exciting team since 2020, whatever, 2019, 2020, whatever the year was. What's your sense about this team now after three games? I know what it was after one, but after three games now.
I'm still trying to feel them out, but I understand your exuberance because, we've got some talent. We've got some good pieces. How quickly we all come together and they mesh, and we've got to defend, I think, and rebound at a higher clip. We can't give up 21 boards, and that's unheard of that Florida did to us on that old glass. And we've got to transition defense, rebound, but the ability to shoot the ball. Get to the free throw line. Like we're getting to the free throw line a little bit, which is for us, we've struggled over the last couple of years doing that.
So what's the answer to more rebounding? Do you play bigger? Do you play too big? Do you do more box out drills?
Absolutely. You play bigger at times. You box out harder. Guards got to come back and help rebound, which I thought they did the other night. Now that team didn't go to the offensive glass as hard as Florida. But Reese came back, McNeely came back, Dante came back to help rebound. We're going to have to get that kind of effort. It will be a five-guy rebound collective effort the entire year for us on the defensive end.
3-point shooting so far has been terrific.
Knock on wood, yes.
But that's maybe who this team is.
Well, and it's the type of 3-point shots where, like, we're getting feet set, rhythm shots. You know, McNeely hit a couple where he came off of pin downs. But other than that, I think the guys are getting, you know, different types of paint touch spray, make the extra pass type threes, you know, that are a little easier. You know, shooting away Kyle Guy and McNeely can do flying off screen. Joe Harris, that's a hard way to make a living, shooting those threes. Not everyone can do that.
I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of Joe Harris in college. I don't know if I ever saw him play in college, but I saw Kyle Guy do it. And it was, I mean, for him to turn the way he turns his body and in midair and square his shoulders and get rid of the balls.
No. You know, McNeely's got that ability to do that. But, you know, getting guys, you know, feet set quality looks. And look, Reese and Dante are unselfish guy. Man, Reese's assist to turnover is crazy right now.
Yeah, no, he's terrific at that. Just and creating turnovers too. If you add that, right? I mean, he's I don't know where he's ranked in terms of best point guard in the ACC right now, but he's up there, right? Again, and these good ones.
He's my best point guard. I take him all day, every day.
I know that's right for sure. All right, we're going to bring T-Dubs in now to replace, once again, Dougie's job is on the line.
Hey, we're about to get rid of Fresh.
He couldn't make it, so I'm filling in for him.
T-Dub, we're about to get rid of Fresh. It's going to be the T-Dub.
Dubs question of the week. All right, so here's the setup for my question. So after our game last night, I went to Stanford to watch Santa Clara.
Big Poppy.
Yeah, Big Poppy to see him play, and they win. Poppy doesn't have his best game, but definitely impacted the game. But, like, I go from watching a game where I'm team Virginia. I understand the goals. I understand what we're trying to do. It's much easier for me to understand the game to a game where I'm a fan of one person, and I'm watching from the perspective of I want my friend to do well. And it just changes the whole way you watch the game. So my question for you and for Mark, with your sons, you know, playing in these games, but you having the perspective of coach and team, how do you balance those two as a father when you're watching your son? Because you, I'm sure, or can you be objective enough to be like, hey, the team needed you to do this, and da da da? Are you like, my son needs more minutes? My son needs to do this. I want, like, how I don't even know if it's possible based on my experience so far, but I'd love to hear how you plan on, or if
I'll let Mark answer that one first.
I need to be by myself when I watch games, first of all. Right? So, and this is not lip service, right? When I'm at UVA, I'm rooting for the team. Right now, he was a big part of the team. Is toward the, I guess, latter part of the first year and then the second and third year. So it was easy, right? In the NBA, it becomes a little tricky because at heart, your child is the most important thing to you and his happiness is the most important thing to you, right? You're as a parent, I'm as happy as my least happy child. So if he's not getting playing time or if he's hurt or if he's not contributing and he's not getting a chance, if he gets a chance and doesn't perform, that's on him. Right. But if he's performing and he doesn't get a chance, you know, I'm pissed at the coach. I'm pissed at the world. I'm pissed at the world, but I'm pissed at the coach and I'm pissed at, you know, whoever, all the other people that are saying negative things about him. It's tough. It's heart wrenching. It's so heart wrenching. I don't know how to deal with it. I really don't. I've tried different things. I've tried and I sometimes can't watch or watch the next day. Right. But there's a lot of conversations on the phone and there's a lot of like supportive, whatever interactions and communication if your child's not playing or isn't playing well. And that's really important, right? And they've got to feel that and they have to know that too.
It helps when your kid plays and is an integral part of the team. Makes it life a lot easier. for me, I'm always critiquing like crazy. So I am more coach than I am dad. And I'm like, you need to do this better. Sit his butt down. He's not doing like I'm always coach and a hard ass. But I do cheer like crazy for every team my boys have ever been on. So I want the team to win, but I want them to have success in doing that. But I'm probably harder on my guys than I am any of their teammates. And they could do the exact, one of the teammates could do the exact same thing my kid just did, and I wouldn't say a word. My kid do something goofy, and I'd chew him out. And they'd be like, well, wait a second, he just did it. Why do you say anything to him? That's just me. But it's a hard thing to balance. But if they're playing, makes life much easier.
And what about this recruiting process? How involved are you?
You know, I've taken a back seat. He kind of knows what recruiting is. He's heard me talk to guys on the phone. He's heard, you know, he's seen official visits and unofficial, like he's seen it all. So I'm allowing him to have communication with coaches. And I tell the coaches that reach out to me to, you don't have to recruit me, kind of just keep me in the loop a little bit. You got to get to know him and mom, because ultimately if mom's not happy and she don't trust you, he ain't going there. So you got to recruit her harder than you got to recruit me. But it's been fun, you know, and quite honestly, his recruitment's a little bit of a standstill because he played football. So I'm expecting it to pick up a little bit once he gets back, and the season starts for them the end of this month. So,
all right. Well, I pray he doesn't watch He Got Games. So let's keep that off the TV for a little while. All right. That's it. That's all I got. Appreciate it.
That was it.
That's it.
Let's get me off the hook early. That's easy, T Dub.
Yeah, of course. I made it easy for you.
T Dub, some from the audience though.
We have tons of forum questions if you want to get into that.
Yeah, let's
Are we ready for that?
Are we ready, Mark?
We're ready for it.
All right.
All right, let me pull it up. I think you got into one of them with Dunn. I think there's a bunch of Dunn questions in general.
But Dunn, Dunn and Bond?
Yeah, Dunn and Bond. Another one is, how are the red shirts looking in practice?
Looking good. They actually, I thought today, freaking Elijah and Christian were really good. They were the scout team and running Texas Southern stuff. But when you got Isaiah, those two, Chase, and Big Anthony, that's an easy scout team. Those dudes, they look good.
All right, St. Louis, who with?
Hold on, while you're on the subject of the scout team, let's take Bill Styron's question. Right. When the first team goes against the green team in practice, does the green team try to mimic the specific players on the upcoming opponent, or simply try to run the same sets and actions the opponent likes to run?
Mostly sets. We run their offense, their sets, and try to mimic how fast, the pace that they run them at, and try to execute them. You know, our biggest thing is for them not to turn the ball over and run the plays, but get a good quality shot. The only time we may have them try to mimic a person's game, if there's a lefty, especially in the post where he's always going over his right shoulder. Isaiah's a right-handed guy, loves to go over his left shoulder. So we got to always remind him, you're lefty, you're a left-handed player today. So those are some of those instances. But outside of that, it's mostly, you know, just run their offense, run it crisp, and let us see what it looks like. And defend the way that other teams defend. Like, but it's hard. Like, when we go against teams that do zones, you know, our guys can't pick up the matchup zone, the 1-3. We have to put 6 or 7 dudes on the court sometimes.
That's a hard concept.
I'm not sure. Yeah. It's too hard to pick up in just a day. or eight minute defensive segment, and you haven't been able to walk them through rotations and how to drop and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Next one from St. Lou, who, in terms of defensive rebounding, what specifically are you guys doing to try to improve that?
We're missing every single shot in practice and telling the green team to crash like crazy and keep them off the glass. There really is no secret formula to it. You just got to do it and go get it. And, you know, we try technique, boxing out, you know, hit, hold, all that. Go get the ball, pursue the ball, see the ball, find the ball. So we're doing a ton of that, yes.
This is where we need that Dennis Rodman, the meme, with him pointing all over from last night. All right, next one from Dave the Wave. Are you doing the scout for Wisconsin? How is that looking?
I do not have the Wisconsin scout. That is too far down the road for me. I'm worried about Texas Southern right now.
I knew that was the answer, but I had to ask. You knew that. next one. I can answer the next one. What's up with the Apple Podcast? Are Jay Willie Show going to be on the Apple Podcast? We're working on that. For whatever reason, it's down. I made the response that Fresh said to pull the cartridge out and blow on it. That didn't work. we're working on it. Spotify is working. We're going to add it to Spotify. I think Spence is going to get on that. So if you guys can't do the YouTube or Facebook, Spotify coming, we'll fix Apple Podcasts.
I was going to say that this is over my pay grade right here. This is all – that's a T-dub question for sure.
Haney asked, what is a podcast? I think he's just kind of refresh. Next one, what about Bond's game? Who does it remind you of? Is there someone that maybe not UVA history, but in general that his game reminds you of?
He's unique because – He's athletic, long arm, but he's a true tweener. So he's working on being better on the perimeter, but he is most comfortable, and you probably see it when you watch him, most comfortable in and around the paint, mid-post, posting up. He had a beautiful jump hook yesterday. So I really don't know. You know who he's a little bit like, and I hope he develops as his career goes, as he gets older here, is a little bit like Brian Stith, who could post up, was a good rebounder, and then developed a three-point shot as he got older, his junior, senior years. So, he's probably closer to that than he reminds me more of Stith early on, and Stith when he was first, his freshman, sophomore year.
It's the leading scorer in the history of Virginia. No big deal. No pressure. And my son.
I'm just saying, not that he is Stith, but his game. He's got a little bit. And Leon's probably Stith size, right? 6'5".
The combination of hustle, grit, I see it. And then the one who in true VIP, shout out him. If you could add a role player to this team, what type of player would that be to match the current team's skill set?
If I say that again?
If you could add one type of role player to this team,
yeah.
What role would that be? Or what is this team lacking in that person could fill? And he gives examples of rim protector, playmaker, shooter. What is there a thing?
I would want to add all of that. Rim protector, playmaker, shooter. Is there one guy that can do all of that? Give me that dude. Who is that dude?
Yeah, I said maybe a better way of asking this is there a skill set that you're concerned about on this team?
Okay, that's a better question. All right, because I would take a rim protector, paint, skill guy, and shooter all wrapped in one. I would love that guy to be about 6'8", 6'9", that 6'10", that could do all of that. Honestly, I think that as we move forward, I think just having a physical, like Jack Salt, Big Poppy, somebody that, you know, that can throw his weight around. And that's where I think Miner will end up being. He's getting into that role. But he's not 6'10", 6'11", the same size those guys were. Ideally, if we had a guy like that, that'd be great with this group. But I think Jordan can do it because he's got some girth. He can throw that weight around. But he's only 6'8 doing that.
All right. I think that's it. I think you've answered all of this week's questions.
All right.
There's probably some in the chat. I can't see the chat, but
I can't either. Who's got the chat?
I see it. There's not a lot of questions. There's just a lot of comments.
Okay.
So wait. No, there are some.
I think if you comment, it might put it on the screen for us.
Jason Wise commented, Reese, 19 assists to 1 turnover.
Unbelievable.
Let's go, Reese.
That's a heck of a start to the year.
And Lance said, my good buddy Lance said he's available.
Who?
My good buddy Lance, who you met a couple of times.
He's available for what?
to be that big
role guy?
6'8", LeBron James.
All right.
He's got to add a few inches, but or more than a few. But maybe another way. So another great job, well done by Jay Willie. I know the answer. I'm hoping you give it a little bit of different response.
What is that?
One game you're looking towards the next few weeks.
Tomorrow night.
Texas Southern.
I was going to ask either one. It could have answered that for you. So, all right, Jay Wills, you're a great guest as always. It's your show. I know, tough topic to discuss, and you handled it great.
No.
You know, awesome, with class.
Amazing.
It wasn't a tough topic. I know Corey's caught a lot of flat, and I don't necessarily think he should have been put in that position by the referee. I don't know exactly how it all transpired and got to that point, but wasn't tough. Court, like I said, we were in each other's weddings. That's my guy. But I had to ice him for a few days.
Did he reach out to try to talk to you?
Yeah, he called me, sent me a text. I love him. I love him like he was my own brother. But I had to, I put him on deep freeze.
But that's what you do sometimes with family too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right, and sometimes that happens. And I believe the next time he's in Seville, from what I read, is November 29th against Texas A&M.
It's tomorrow.
No, I think he's doing our game tomorrow.
He is tomorrow. He's doing tomorrow's game.
I read tomorrow night, but I also read Texas A&M. So,
okay.
I honestly hope that the crowd doesn't give him too hard of a time.
They won't. He poured a lot of sweat and blood into that program. They won't. They won't.
Yep. All right. Well, memories, that stuff fades, right? Especially as long as you guys keep winning. So, of course, I hope you guys.
The W helps.
For sure helps.
Yes. All right, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. Once again, Jay Willie Show sponsored by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged. Thanks, Kev, so much. And Kev was on the show post-game after Florida. Did a great job. Enjoyed seeing him. And T-Dubs and crew was out there, too. I wish I could make it. We'll be out there. We're figuring out a time and a date for a good game to come to Seville and do our live show there.
Carolina, maybe?
Say it again, T-Dubs.
Carolina, maybe the Carolina game?
I'll leave that up to you guys.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
I'll be there. You just tell me where to go.
All right, Coach. Good luck tomorrow night.
Appreciate you.
And let's get to 4-0.
All right. Thanks.